Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. We're going to talk about shepherds this morning. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, son of man. That's what Ezekiel's title is. Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, you clothe yourself with wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased you have not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty you have ruled them. Wow, that's powerful. A shepherd is someone that pastors the sheep, is someone that feeds the sheep instead of being fed of the sheep. In other words, the ministry is a servant role. It's not a master role. You are to feed the sheep because actually the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. And if you have a Lord up high on in heaven above, then you don't have to worry because the sheep will be taken care of by the shepherds, the pastors. And why would God be mad at the pastors? Because they're doing the wrong thing. They're taking care of themselves at the expense of the sheep they were to feed. And so one of my purposes to be a shepherd, which God called me to, probably even when my mother tried to abort me several times when I was born, he probably called me then. But regardless of when he called me, he eventually called me, and I would have been a horrible shepherd, but God had to first save me. He had to first speak to me, and then his call called me out of the world. Vanity of vanities, all's vanity. He had to call me out of the world because everything I lived for was myself. Everything I wanted was to bless myself. And you can't bless yourself if you have a God who blesses you. You can't bless yourself if you have a God who blesses you. In other words, his blessing is complete. Mine would have been robbing. I would have definitely taken care of myself. I know that. So God had to first of all speak to me and rebuke me for living a selfish life. I was already married by then, and but I knew something happened to me, and he changed my life around. So now I lay down my life, not lay out the sheep for my life, but lay out my life for the sheep. And because of that, I cannot say my words. I cannot do my own agenda. I have another agenda, and God triumphs over me. He absolutely. I'm under new management. In other words, I'm not managing my life anymore. I don't have any control or any interest in control over my life. Jesus does it. I trust him. I trust him because I made a lousy job out of ruling myself. I was under poor management. How many of you have been under poor management in the past. In other words, I can do it. I can do whatever I want to do, blah, blah, blah. And I did. But he's now excoriating, rebuking the shepherds of Israel. Why? Because you with force, you have a law that you're enforcing. So I don't want that for my people. I don't want any laws. So you have never heard me give you a law. You have never heard me command you. Never. And you never will. Because God didn't treat me that way. He treated me with tenderness. He treated me with wisdom. And so, praise God, I wasn't expecting that because I had not lived a good life. But I thought it was fine. I was totally pleased with myself. But that was the problem. And so to be a good shepherd, you have to lay down your life for the sheep. In other words, I don't have two lives, mine and theirs. There's only one purpose in my life, to lay down my life for you all. And I have been faithful. And I know I'll someday hear, good and faithful servant. How do I know that? Because God has killed me. God has destroyed me over and 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 over again. No pride, no anger, no lust, no bitterness, no anything. I don't want any sin on you. But he promised to take care of it. He promised to provide for me, take care of me. Since God loves you, you don't have to take care of yourself. I'm not saying you don't have to take care of yourself. What I mean is, you have no anxiety about it because you know God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. And so I don't worry about myself. I worry about only the flock. Make sure the flock finds pasture. Make sure it nourishes them. Make sure that, they don't have any cockle burrs in their wool and, ticks and whatever else. And if they're wounded, you have to heal it. And if they're hurt, you have to settle it and give peace to them and so on and so forth. So being a shepherd is a horrible job, and I love it. I love being a shepherd because I don't have any, I'm comfortable in my skin. I'm not worried about it because Jesus takes care of me, so I can take care of you. If I weren't, I couldn't. I was vain, completely wicked, completely hypocritical, completely a liar, and so on and so forth. But now I don't have that. Why? It doesn't have dominion over me. Well, I think the same thoughts everyone else thinks, but I deny them. Deny thyself. Deny thyself. So I'm not interested in a church of 10,000 or 50,000 or 500,000. I'm interested in just a handful of people. I've said many times if it was just Peggy, I'd be satisfied with Peggy. But I have plenty to do, and I'm never bored, and I'm never tired, and I'm never discouraged, and I'm never depressed, and I'm never worried about the enemy. The wolf comes, and the bear comes, and whoever comes to destroy the sheep, skunks, whatever, I won't let them get the sheep. So if you are my disciple, which I want you to be, but not my disciple, I want you to be Jesus' disciple, I want to make sure that no sin dominates you. No sin. Now, people commit adultery, people lie, people cheat, people do all kinds of things. I've done all those kind of things. Not adultery. I never did those things that would hurt me. Actually, not because I was a Christian, but because I wasn't a Christian and I didn't want to be controlled by someone else. I didn't want anyone to take away my freedom to do what I wanted to do. Now, I don't need to worry about that. Jesus worries about that. Jesus cares about that. If the Father himself loveth you, then you're able to bless others. If the Father himself loveth you. So night and day, always I spend hours and hours and hours and hours with God, reading his word, confessing my sins, laughing, crying over the sheep. Because we have problems in Fort Worth. We don't have any in Dallas, but in Fort Worth, there's really big sinners. And so I have to take care of them. But praise God, here we have all saints. Amen. So everybody here is okay. But, you know, to birth a child is easy, but to grow them up is impossible. To birth a child is easy on the man, but it's not on the woman. I always marvel that Piggy could stay up at night and, you know, take care of the baby. And so it's like, man, I am so blessed not to be a woman. I don't want to be. How can they do it? How can she go sleepless nights? Sometimes she's elbowed me. The baby's crying. Get up and do it. I'm not. That's your job. That's not my job. Well, I'm tired, so get up and do it. But after I tried it a couple of times, she realized I better do it because I had not good ways of taking care of children. If they would cry, I'd just walk them down the hall like this. And they would just freeze up and they would stop crying. You know, I thought that solved it. And but the baby was horrified. And I did all kinds of things. And so she said, I better not turn that over to you. Well, you know, if they're crying, there's always a way to do it. You know, put them in the water, do something, you know, so keep the crying down. Praise God. So God wants a shepherd to feed the truth to the sheep. So what I'm saying is nothing. I've lived everything I'm talking about. If I talk about something, I've lived it. But I don't just say theories, and I don't copy someone else's messages. I've experienced everything that you're supposed to experience. And for that, I'm not saying I'm better than the shepherds of Israel. I'm only saying that I'm better than the shepherds of Israel because of Jesus. That's all. They were under a law. We're not under a law. We're under the gospel. So it's a fun job for me. I love it. But you have to be called to it. You have to be called to it. And since he only saved sinners, I got saved. But he only saved sinners. How many here have secret sins? Secret. In other words, nobody knows about it but you and Jesus. But he doesn't want any secret sins. He wants to bring them all into the light and expose them and destroy them. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. He hates sin, but he loves sinners. So he'll forgive your sins. Whatever sins you have, he'll forgive them. He's not impressed with the sin. He's impressed with Jesus' dying for us on the cross so that we're no longer needing to sin because he's forgiven us, he's pardoned us, he's let us off the hook. And so now, the sin is not your problem. Unbelief or belief is your problem. You need to decide, I'm going to believe everything God said and follow it. I'm going to believe everything God said and follow it. Now, I know most people don't read their Bibles every day, but I do. Most people do not spend a lot of time with God, but I do. Well, it's my job. Okay. But it's a job I love. I would do it if I weren't a pastor. I love reading the Bible every day. And I love reading the Bible with my wife. It's a good thing. And so I want her to not just have a superficial understanding, but a deep understanding that morals is not Christianity. You being moral is you establishing your own righteousness. You being moral doesn't impress anybody, least of all God. He wants you to have virtue. Arete. That means virtue is spiritual. If you're born of the Spirit, you don't have your own works. You're actually doing God's works. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, self-control. 9 fruits of the Spirit. That's all Jesus, and to God be the glory. That's all Jesus, and to God be the glory. So I don't live my life, I live his life because I want to manifest God in all that I do. Am I perfect? No. I don't even expect to be perfect. And I don't just try to do the best I can. I'm before God night and day, confess my sins. So shepherds are to feed the flock, not to beat them, eat them, to take advantage of them. A lot of pastors are proud of their big congregations and so on, so they're just using the people to raise money and whatever else. I don't even know what anyone gives. I have no idea what anyone gives. Told the treasurer, don't ever tell me who gives what. I'll treat everybody alike, and I don't want to know that somebody did this or somebody did that. So I don't know. I don't want to know. I just know this, that we're still surviving. We're still here. And so I intend to actually stay on the wagon till Jesus comes. And so in other words, I'm not departing. I'm not going anywhere. Now if God tells me to go, I'll go. But I don't believe he will. I think I'm in the place God wants me. But we do have a big ministry in Uganda and various other places where tapes go and television goes and so on and so forth. Now we're live streaming the all that I say on Sunday mornings. It could go all over the world. Can go all over the world. So people hear it. And we got hundreds and hundreds of people that are watching it. So who knows who's listening? Who knows, but the word goes out and it always must produce fruit. The word goes out and it always must produce fruit. So what is fruit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, self-control, self-restraint, self-government. And so that's what I do. How am I doing? I don't even know. I have no idea how I'm doing. I just share it and live it. Share it and live it. Or live it and share it. But I know we've blessed a lot of families. I know I've prevented a lot of divorces. I know I've done something to change people's lives. And, I don't look at it to brag or boast. I just say, thank God that person is living a godly life and not living a pagan life. Today, it's so easy to live a pagan life. It's so easy. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's there for kids. It's there for everyone. You can see it. It's on the internet. It's on your Facebooks. It's everywhere. People are living just a slovenly lives. Not for me. I want you to be holy. Completely holy. Completely, 100%. How do you do that? Yahoo! Just sneak in so no one sees you. God is good. Shepherding is fun for me. It's a joy for me. I like being called a shepherd, but you have to lay your life down. You don't have a life of your own. I don't belong to anybody. I just belong to Jesus, period. And that's all I want. Just want to say what Jesus says. I want to do what Jesus does, period. So what do you think is going to happen? Because I'm never seeking glory, I'm never seeking a name. I'm never seeking anything. You never know what God's going to do with your life. You never know what God's going to say. But he was angry at these shepherds. But remember, the Old Testament's under a law. They're under the Mosaic law. And when you're under a law, you'll never be perfected. But when you're under grace, he starts you out totally with a new heart. Wow, I need a new heart. My old heart was evil, vain, bad, wicked. But now my new heart is loving God with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, and loving my neighbor as myself. And only God does that. I don't do that. God does that. But it works. So, you eat the fat, verse 3. You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with wool, you kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. That's wrong. The diseased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty you have ruled them, and they were scattered, because there is no shepherd. There is no shepherd. Who do you think that's talking about? Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. It's talking about Jesus. There is no shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green. If God is your shepherd, God up in heaven, that God. If God is your shepherd, you don't want anything. Now, Jesus had to come to earth as the Son of the Father to die for us, because we were going to die. And so he died in our stead. To pay our debt. We owed a debt. He removed that. To cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He removed that. We were not perfected in love. He removed all that. In other words, he did everything you needed to do. Thank God for God and Jesus being. I am, he said. I am. That means he's God. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So, I follow Jesus in that regard. I'm not the shepherd. I'm an under-shepherd. I'm underneath the Lord. That's why King David in Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He was the shepherd. You know, all the kings, God has two breasts. Everyone does. But he has two breasts. This one here is his kingly breast. This one here is the nourishing, giving milk breast. So he has the priest and the king, both inside himself. And in ancient civilizations, you can read this anywhere, or you can look at the pictures and see how ancients did it. This side had an open arm, so you could always go for your sword and use your power to defend the righteous and conquer the wicked. But this side here, not as king, but as shepherd, he is the lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Here you're nourishing the people. You not only save them from their sins, forgive their sins, but you also then cleanse them from all unrighteousness, and you also then perfect them in love. So this side is how you grow. This side is him defending you and attacking the enemy, and that's why he died for us as king of kings. Even wrote on the sign above his head when he died, King of Kings. He's the king. He said he was the king. And they wrote that on there. So he didn't come just as Savior. He came also as Lord, and he also as Bridegroom. Because he's going to make sure you're matured to the Christ-like spirit, soul, and body. So how many of you are born again? Chair 4. Yeah, everybody. Praise God. How many of you are cleansed of all unrighteousness? You don't have sin dominating you. No sin. You don't have any sin. Julia? Okay. How many of you are perfected in love and all you do is love people? Okay. So I can see exactly where you were. Julia said that by faith. That's good. Very good. Yeah, only by faith. Oh, I didn't mention that. Yeah, it has to be by faith. Yeah, by faith. Okay, how many are perfected in love? By faith. You don't have to see it. You don't have to understand it. Just do it. Just do it. I say, everybody, Peggy, you know, I love you. You're the best, and so on and so forth. I have to build her up. And I don't want any sin dominating her. I don't want any sin in her life. Because every day, as Christ loved the church, so every man love his wife. Did you hear what I just said? Mm-hmm. As Christ loved the church, every man love his wife. Put the wife first. Give her all the blessing. You take all the burden. I love that. I love that. Give your wife all the blessing. Take the burden. Right, that's, you're called to that. You're called to that. And so I just do it. I don't think about it. I just do it. I just do it. So I don't have two agendas. I just have one. Feed the sheep. To make sure that they are nourished and protected. You see, this one protects you. This one nourishes you. That's what you want to do to kids, right? You want to nourish them. They're born. Now you want them to grow up and be, you know, godly. And I always told that to my kids. You will be a godly boy. You will be a godly woman. And I said, that's all. That's it. I'm satisfied. Grades, and I don't care about anything else you do. How gifted you are and how ungifted you are. I don't care about that. I only care about one thing. I want you to be a godly woman. That's your goal in life, to be in love with God. Amen?
Amen.
And all my kids are. And all my grandkids are. But I'm not a looker at behavior. I'm a looker at faith in the heart. I don't ever look at behavior. I don't care about the behavior. Behavior is spanking and so on, chastens you, but, you know, we'll bind up whomever we wound with a little spanking. And I only had to spank them, I don't know, a dozen times or less when they were little. Because when they're little, they need discipline, right? Little ones need discipline because they stop that. Don't do that. You know, you always have to discipline them. And then you spank them. You don't just discipline them with words. You spank them until they realize, Dad's serious about this. So even if the kids would even roll their eyes, I'd spank them. You don't ever do that to Mom. You don't ever do that to Mom. And then kids are, you know, obedient out of fear. They're just out of fear of this side, but also on this side, I don't want to miss out on the goodies. So I always discipline them, but I also warn them, I think you want me when you need to buy a car or something someday. You know, I don't think you want to run away just because I discipline you. I think you want to run away because I'm keeping you alive. And so, you know, all my kids, when they were 18, 19, 20, somewhere in there, 21, they came and thanked me. They came and thanked me personally because they knew Mom would probably still be Mom and correct them. But they knew Dad, when he says he's going to let me go at, you know, of age, and Margaret said it was 17, said, Dad, I'm mature. So don't give me a junkie car like you gave all the other kids. Give me a brand new car. She didn't get her way. I didn't want her to get her way. As I said, you will have an accident. I will not. I've learned from the other kids. They all had two or three. I've learned from the other kids, and I'll be a good driver. I will, you know. But I noticed all the other kids banged up at least one or two times. It wasn't my fault, Dad. You know, it's always your fault because you're driving. Let Mom and I drive you around because you don't know how to drive. Get out. So there you have it. So you have to have someone teach you how to drive. You have to have someone make sure you're an adult and can handle it. Otherwise, you use your car for wrong reasons. Because it's easy to have an accident today. Someone can drive, you know, from the other side and just crash into you. So you never know who's drunk, who's on the road. Even though your instincts are good, your experience is not. Experience is not. So anyway, but that makes them then grow up. And then I said, no debt. And so all my kids were in debt, you know, sooner or later. And so I had to learn, you know, to overcome that also. But now none of them are in debt. All of them are doing well. And so, because you have to teach them how to do finances, how to do, you know, everything. and you never get into debt, like running up, you know, several thousand dollars of credit cards and so on and so forth, or buying a new house. You know, I've never had a debt in my life, ever, 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 at any time. I always paid my way, always bought everything with cash, always. You know what? You save a ton of money that way. You save at least one third on mortgaging something or having, you know, an amortized schedule. I never had one. And one time I had one, but I had all the money in the bank to pay it all off. So, I mean, I could do it. And that was called double dipping. I get a write-off on it, and I took advantage of that. You can do it in several ways, but I took advantage of it, and God said, no debt. Remember it says in the Bible, no debt? And so I went, wow, no debt. I'm taking advantage of here because I owe this and so on and so forth, but over here I'm making more than that. So I took advantage of it. God said, no debt. Well, God, it's working to my advantage. No debt. I mean, like, no debt sounds like no debt. And so, wonderfully, we paid it all off. And since then, no debt at all. Even on the surface, even though I can borrow, all people say, you know, we can give you this line of credit or what. I don't want it. I don't want anything. I'll just let Jesus supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. Amen? How many know Jesus is a good banker? He banks on us to, first of all, deal with your sin, but after that, all the practical stuff that you need to deal with too. Now, what's going to happen to these bad shepherds? And they were scattered, verse 5, because there was no shepherd. Jesus hadn't come along yet. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. In other words, the Jewish people, when they were in exile and when God scattered them, nobody could take care of them. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. You know, see, when Jesus came, the Jews were no longer in their land. They became, shortly after killing him, they became, the Rome conquered them. But they were already, when Jesus came, under Rome. Rome already conquered them. And before that, it was the Greeks. And before that, it was the Persians. And before that, it was the Assyrians. And before that, it was the Egyptians. So once you disobey God, he's going to let you, you know, be scattered because there's no shepherd to shepherd them. But when Jesus came, he was the shepherd. He told them the truth and they killed him. If you tell someone the truth, they kill you because they don't want to hear the truth. They just want to do their own thing. And so today, America is, wanting to be rich again and great again and so on and so forth. But that's a snare. Don't make that your goal in life, God and mammon. Make sure you go with God and forget the mammon. God will supply all your needs. God will supply all your needs. And he always has. Amen? Amen. So you're able to tithe or whatever people do. And able to then have money left over to support missions or whatever else you want to do. And there's a reward in that. I'm just telling you, there's a reward in that. So as we've blessed Joel, before he left, I gave him enough money to buy the $30,000 tractor. So that was a miracle. Thank God for people here that did that. So it already is in the bank, and he already has it. And so that's pretty powerful. So he can buy that tractor, and that will save him at least 10 times the human labor to cultivate all those fields, to plow them up, to harvest, and so on and so forth, just with that tractor. And so it's pretty amazing. And then he can take advantage of the market right now, so that because when he's not using the tractor, nobody has a tractor in Africa, especially where he lives. And now he can rent out the tractor to others because they don't know how to do it. And he'll train some of his young men to do it. They'll go and tractor it out and get paid. So that thing will be running. You know, that thing will be running. So you need to know how, and John Deere, he's using a John Deere. That John Deere will be a great blessing to him, because he'll not only feed the kids, nourish on this side, but he also will be able to sell into the market and make a profit and support his kids, because he's going to have 2,000 kids before it's all over. And so he doesn't want to quit until he has 2,000 kids living on the land that are his children, his champions. He calls them champions. So that tractor, which he's always wanted, you know, he now has it. And so that's pretty exciting. And so I'm not patting us on the back. I'm just simply saying thank you, all that contributed to that tractor, because it's a big thing for him. But these shepherds, they didn't search out or seek the sheep. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I'm seeking out the lost. I'm seeking out those that were wounded. I'm seeking out those that are hurting. I'm seeking out those that are poor. I'm seeking out those that are wounded. I'm seeking out everybody and making sure you have a happy and safe life here on earth." Ha! Do you have a happy and safe life? Can everyone say amen?
Amen.
You do by faith, even though you don't maybe see it. But you just do it by faith. Yeah, I am. I have everything I need. God is supplying all my needs according to his riches and glory. You know, so you don't have any needs. Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You'll never want. If you're a Christian, you're not going to want. Why? Because God's a supplier. God is the one that now, if he asks you for something, he does it. He doesn't put any weight on you. He puts all the weight on himself. He's a loving father, and he wants his kids to flourish. And so I want my kids to flourish too, and my grandkids. I want them all to flourish. And so they all are. And I praise God for that. Now, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Now, I was going to rebuke them. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey. That was everyone's using them. And my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, spiritual or political. Neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and feed not my flock. How many know that truth will set you free? If you have truth, you're free. And you're free to do what? The will of God. You're free to do whatever God wants you to do. You know, most people don't even know what God wants them to do. They just go to work, but they don't know why they're doing what they're doing. And so they end up in trouble. Wars come from this. Everything evil comes from not obeying God, not fearing God. You need to fear God. You need to realize, wow, before I do anything, I need to hear God. Because God wants you to be blessed. Why? Why does God want you to be blessed, Raul? Why does God want you to be blessed?
To show me his love.
To show you his love?
Show me who he is.
To show who he is. But why does he want you to be blessed? What are you going to do with the blessing you have?
Bless
those around you. So two things. He blesses you so that you can bless others. He blesses you so that you can bless others. Wow. That's it. And everybody in this room, I know, does that. I know everybody in this room hath done that. Praise God. Because as you're blessed, then you want to be a blessing. You are blessed so you can be a blessing in this earth. And that's what we should do. Not everyone has joy. but you can't be around me and not have joy. I want everyone to be happy. And whatever it is, whether you need the Bible, the truth, whatever you need it, I'm going to do it. Why? Because I don't live for myself. I'm not living for myself. I don't even take care of my own stuff. I'm only living for you. Why? That's smart on my part. Because I trust God. In other words, God will supply all my needs so I can bless you. I'm not taking care of myself. I don't have my own account. I'm not doing my own account. But everything I do is for Peggy. And for the grandkids and, you know, whatever. Everything I do is to bless everybody else. And I am a lover. I totally love God. If God loves me, then I can love others. Just as Jesus did, I'm doing. I want to. But I want Alex to do that. So that you're a blessing. You're saving your money so you can get married. So that you can be a blessing to others. He's a lover. And everybody has a gift. Even if you don't think you do, you do. You can always pray. You can always praise God. Amen. You can always let God bless you and thank Him. That's what worship is. Thank you. Amen. I enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, and what? Adore Him, love Him, bless Him. And so God likes that because that is the secret to everything in the world. If you just did that, Dallas would be blessed. If you just took what He gave and then multiplied it, well, you don't multiply it, God does. Anytime you act for God, He multiplies it. Whatever He has, He multiplies it. So let's say you believe in God and you act on something in the Bible, something that's written there. You act on it, He immediately will multiply it. He wanted to feed the 5,000, the 5,000 men, just the men, just the men. There's 5,000 people there, and then they didn't have any money because they'd been preaching all day long. And he said, well, you know, it's time for eating, so feed them. He said, we can't. Oh, nobody here. This one kid has 5 loaves and 2 fish. Yeah, well, just feed them on that. What? And as soon as they acted on that, in total faith, then they picked up 12 baskets full afterward of all the fragments, and everybody ate and was satisfied. That's thousands of people. That's a miraculous thing. That's what God does every day. God every day multiplies. And America was in, you know, $20 trillion in debt or whatever under Obama and so on. But, you know, this president in a short time has almost, you know, knifed that in thirds or half or whatever. And so we'll be great again. He wanted us to be the leader in the world because of our faith. And he knows everyone that voted for him, the most important group that voted for him was Christians. The most important group that voted for him. Not because he's a great Christian. He's not a great Christian. He was a Democrat yesterday and he did all kinds of things. But now with all of that, we start flourishing what we Christians do. They're going to bless everybody else. They're going to bless everybody else. Why? That's their calling. Most of the businessmen that I work with in town are business women. They want to make money so they can give more to missions and to or the poor and whatever else. That's powerful. So that's powerful. You've been blessed to be a blessing. You've been blessed to be a blessing. And then their blessings to other people, because you blessed them just like God blessed you. And now they're blessing others. And then others get blessing others. And he keeps going till the whole world is blessed. The world doesn't realize that America is their only source. America. And Texas is the biggest source in America. We're big. We're huge. We're the 10th largest economy in the world. And before Trump is done, we might be 8th or 7th. I mean, that's huge. Why? We're blessed. We have enough oil and gas just in Texas to feed America, to energize America for 400 years.
Wow.
That's how much reserves we have. And how do you know it will ever stop? You don't. Old fields that they once, they exploited them and everything was gone. Well, they're still producing today. They have new ways of doing it, and somehow it grows or something. They don't even know how it works, but somehow it grows. There's an island out in the Gulf of Mexico that we used to exploit, and they went back years later, and it was all filled up again. Well, they don't know how that happened. But however it happened, God has actually made supplies on the earth to feed everybody that's on the earth. So there will always be energy. It's just that America is the leader. And they're the leader in cattle. They're a leader in, economics. They're a leader. They're a leader. So shouldn't America follow our example? I think so. I think America should follow our example. We live within our means. And not only that, we have surplus. Not only that, we have billions and billions and billions of dollars of surplus. No other state has that. No other. None. They're all bankrupt. They're bankrupt. Why? Bad policies. But here in Texas, we believe in Jesus. One state under God. Now, they believe that in Florida, but I don't think they're doing all that hot. Because, if foreigners come here, great. You can convert them. You can convert them.
Amen.
To be like Christians. To be mature Christians. Why? Because it's the buckle of the Bible Belt. We're the buckle. So everyone needs to come here. Instead of turning your defects into assets, you can turn everything. So these shepherds, I'm going to just tell you something. You get your religion right, you get everything right. You get your religion wrong, you get everything wrong. Just do one thing. Thank God, because He does everything. And you'll be blessed.
Amen.
Just thank God every day. Thank you, God. I do that in the car all the time. Thank you, God. I thank you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endures forever. And by doing that, I can bless the city of Dallas. I can bless the city of Fort Worth. I can bless all the, towns and, villages round about. So it isn't wrong to bless the city where you're dwelling, right? And so I believe that something great is going to happen in this city. That's why I'm here. And also the Fort Worth. Right now, over 1,000 people a day move into Dallas-Fort Worth. On average, over 1,000 people every day. They have to buy houses. They have to rent houses because you can't buy. You have to rent them. It takes a few months to even build a new house. But you got to sustain all that. Well, we have the resources. We're in a, this was an awful place before Texans came here. We're now the Texans. And it was just, no Mexican wanted to live here. They didn't want to live up here. It's like, hey, let's stay, where we know the land and whatever. And so they didn't want to come up here. They tried to coax them to fill up Texas. They couldn't. No one wanted to live here. But after we won independence and started to be a republic of laws, especially under nature and nature's God, people said, hey, let's move to Texas. So a lot of people move here for religious reasons.
It's true.
And they're disappointed in the Christians that are lukewarm. They want every Christian in America should be in love with Jesus because He's blessed this nation. Amen?
Amen.
Now, since America's run out of leaders, we can provide the leaders right here. We can provide the leaders. Why? We should be the model that they follow. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. But I blame the shepherds. But the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed the flock. Therefore, O you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. How many know when God judges the earth, he's not fooling around? Because all the wicked will perish and all the righteous will survive. I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. Andrew, you're going to survive. Because you're righteous. You're righteous by faith. And not by the deeds you did, but by the deeds he did for you, in you, through you. You have a bright future ahead of you. Powerful. Why? Because God is with you. Why? Because you have faith in God. You don't even know what he's talking about, but just trust him. He's trustworthy. Your son, he now is blessed in the military. And he's not blessed because he's taller and smarter and so on. He's blessed because he believes in Jesus.
That's right.
And believing in Jesus makes all the difference in the world. The whole world could be changed. And I want to do that. Everywhere I go in the world, I want to share the good news. People like it. Because he doesn't have any agenda. He doesn't want any money. He doesn't want any, you know. One president offered me a house just like Benny Hinn had one, and, you know, Oral Roberts and so on. He said, see all these houses? They're all ministers from America. Just pick any one you want and I'll give it to you. No, sir, I don't want it. No, I don't want it. He trusted me from that moment on when he realized I hadn't come to get, I came to give. He trusted my wife and I. He hugged us. You're not supposed to hug a president. You're not supposed to get close to him. But he just hugged us. He just pulled us into himself. He's 6'4". He's a huge guy. He's dead now. But anyway, I got favor from him because I didn't want anything. He was my secret partner. But all I wanted for him is stay out of my way. I don't want you to help me. I want you to let me free to do whatever I want to do. And once he asked me, have I done everything you wanted me to do? Right in front of his cabinet. Have I done everything? No, sir, you haven't, I said. What? And I rebuked him for not doing. Someone wanted to corrupt me and so on and so forth. And I said, no, I can't do it. I want the president to protect me. And so he did. He just yelled and screamed at those people. Don't get in this guy's way. So it was powerful. How many know that you, an ordinary person, can do extraordinary things? How many know that's God's delight to have ordinary people do extraordinary things? Why?
Amen.
Because of the blessing. Make sure you're a good steward of what God gives you so that you don't lose it. That's what I'm concerned about Alex. He has a lot of gifting from his grandfather. He blessed him. And then he gives away so many things. Alex, wait, don't lose all your seed. Keep your seed. You know, eat some of it, but don't eat it all. And he's ready to give to anybody anything. Right now, he's pretty risky, right? Yeah. But God will bless you because you love Jesus. Amen. It'll make you a good steward. And so he calls me every time I'm about to give away several thousand dollars, whatever. Well, you think I should? No. Don't do that. And he tells me why he wants to do it. I said, no, hang on to that. Because your seed works for you rather than you work for the seed. You get blessed, but it's what kind of a steward are you over the blessings he's given you? So you should be a blessing. And if you give it away, that person, if they're not worthy, you don't get anything back. But if they're worthy, then they bless others. So you want to make sure your blessing produces blessing, produces blessing, produces blessing. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. You're not going to do it anymore. That's why Jesus cursed this group later. Neither shall my shepherds in Israel feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, and they may not be meat for them. In other words, when Jesus came along, he took the kingdom away from the Jewish people because they were under a law. And they were forced to do things. No, I don't want any law telling me what to do. I don't want any law telling me what to do. Why? I grew up lawless, so I know what it is like to have no law. You can do what you want, when you want, how you want. But now I'm under Jesus. So, man, Jesus, he blesses you, but only so you'll be a blessing. He doesn't bless you to eat it up. Use it. So most of the farmers in the world sustain themselves. That is, they try to feed their family. But they don't have anything for the market. They're not feeding everybody else. But in Uganda, Joel is now feeding over 600 kids every day, almost 700. 700 kids every day, three meals a day. They don't eat like that in Africa. But all those kids are looking to him as their daddy. And so he wants to be a good daddy. And so he's doing that. But then he has extra, because I told him in the beginning, don't mess up, be a good steward. 1/4 of it goes to the market. You sell into the market, and then you get rewarded. So passion fruit is one of the highest fruits in the country. Grow passion fruit on part of your property. Then another part, you feed the kids. And another part, you have that for seed for the next time. And so on and so forth. I just told him how to do it. Well, he's now self-sufficient. And this tractor is going to make him even more self-sufficient. Because we've built his buildings, we've bought the land, we bought the cows, the pigs, and the chickens. We bought everything he has on there, the goats, everything he has on there produces. And now he has thousands and thousands of chickens. They eat some, sell some to the market. They eat pigs, sell some to the market. You know, he knows how to do it. And got all kinds of animals producing milk and everything. They have it. Praise God. For behold, the Lord God, even I, will both search for my sheep and seek them out. Remember Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. Remember Jesus said that? I came to seek and save the lost. Well, I want my life to be like that so he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Right? And I want you to copy. You to copy also. I want you to be blessed by the truth that sets you free so that you can also be blessed. You can also be blessed. As the shepherd, verse 12, I'll close with this. As the shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. This is God speaking. And I will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. So, God is wanting the earth to respond. You know, during the millennium, we'll be in heaven. During the millennium, we'll be married to Jesus. Everything will be blessed on earth. The Jews will be blessed, and the Gentiles under the Jews will be blessed. And everything will be the way God intended when he first, before he created Adam and Eve. He wanted them to be his stewards. They refused and they rebelled against him. So God kicked them out of the garden because they would have eaten of the tree of life and been eternally wicked. They'd be among the wicked. And he said, no, don't let them eat the tree of life right now because they'll live like this forever. And no, it's not good. So then he put a flaming angel there, and it just drove him away. Hey, don't come here to this tree. So the tree was reserved for 4,000 years before he was born of Mary. 4,000 years later, born of Mary. God is a good shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. My father loves you. The Father himself loveth you. So we have a good God. Hope you're blessed by the message today.
Amen.
What did you learn today? What did anyone learn?
That you're a great shepherd. Yep.
Yeah, right. I'm not.
Jesus, you are. Yes, you are.
Yeah, but not in terms of, you know, looking like it. Yeah.
Okay. really, in reality, you are, because you push us off to Jesus. I mean,
amen.
No matter what, you're always pushing us on Jesus.
Yeah.
Instead of us coming to you and trying to get from you, which we do, but yet
right.
He pushes.
And that's true. He is the shepherd. I'm not. And God is,
right.
You know, the one he's looking to. And King David said this before he died, that my Lord said to my Lord, in other words, the Lord God, the Father, he also said to Jesus, this day I've begotten you. So my Lord said, so he had two Lords, the Father and the Son. That's all you need. And the Holy Spirit is also there amongst them. Yes?
And one of the things that probably everybody knows this, but I was just thinking about it as you were speaking about the shepherds and all this, and how Jesus came at the perfect time to save Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Because 30 years after that, the whole thing gets destroyed. And I was thinking, you know, if God hadn't sent Jesus at that time, Israel would have been totally destroyed, because
totally.
Nobody would have been survived
right.
that.
Right.
And so God sent Jesus to save Israel, and then the remnant was able to get out and start to spread before
yeah. right.
Nero and all of those
right.
you know, planned on destroying them anyway, because they were being rebellious and doing everything. Like
right.
that.
Yeah.
I thought that was a blessing. I didn't really think about that until you were talking about the
right.
shepherds and
yeah.
what God was going to do.
No, it's good. No, it's powerful. It's powerful. Julia.
You shepherd us to...
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, Sam.
You shepherd us to seek the Word and seek Christ.
Yeah.
And that's the main thing you always emphasize, is getting the Word, getting the Word, getting the Word. And you do that, and as a good shepherd, that's what you do, you know, because you're telling us to seek Jesus.
Amen. That's powerful, because he is everything. He is everything. He isn't just something. He is everything.
Amen.
My all in all.
Amen.
Julia.
Actually, I guess it's just continuing what Will and Sam said, but what came to me is that just as Christ loved the church, you're loving Peggy as your wife, just as Christ loved the church, but then also just as Jesus is our shepherd, you are shepherding us in that way as well. And it's really a living and breathing example for us to see how Jesus is in you, working as a shepherd to lead us, just as Jesus is working in you.
Amen.
To love Peggy as he loved the church.
Yeah, right.
And and that points us to Jesus.
Yeah.
And so you're always pointing
right.
us to be, okay, this is what it looks like to live, to be dead. This is what it looks like for Jesus in me to live through.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's powerful. Yeah, Jesus is our shepherd, and actually God the Father. God the Father never wanted them to have a king. He wanted to be their king. They rejected him. So he sent his son down, and then they killed him. But he raised them up. And so you can't defeat God.
Amen.
You can't defeat God. He always wins. He never is defeated. I mean, people think they got him on the ropes. He'll just come back again. He comes back and knocks you out. And he says, I can do this anytime I want. Yesterday I heard this guy say, it's like fighting a 2-year-old or something. You get home, and they're trying to punch you or kick you or whatever they're trying to do. And it's like, you know, they're just 2 years old. So you can take them anytime you want to, but you don't. You just play with them, because they're not able to take you. No one can take God. There's only one God. We have him. Isn't that amazing that you know the true and living God? Nobody else has life in themselves. Nobody else can promise you eternal life. Nobody else can give you an inheritance. You're blessed beyond measure. You haven't even seen anything he's saved up for you. Nobody's even been to heaven. So, the best has been saved to the last. Yes, communion.
Can I say something?
Yes, Peggy's going to say something. Go ahead.
shepherd. And so he's like the shepherd of the sheep. And the shepherd, in the scriptures are used as he's taking all the bad stuff off the sheep. You know, he pastures legs and he removes the stuff from them. And I thought that because that's like removing sin from us.
Yeah.
That hinders us.
Right.
But then he's the good shepherd and he wants to take off those things that are burdening the sheep.
Right.
The good shepherd is cleansing us.
Right.
It's a good thing to be cleansed.
That's powerful. That's powerful. All right. We're going to take communion. Got your wafer ready?
No.
No? It's hard to get that wafer. I've only have half a wafer here. I'm going to eat it early. Okay. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night, someone open it up for him, because it's hard. You have to pull the first one off first. I never remember that. They look the same. Anyway, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you." In other words, I'm laying my life down for the sheep. I want you also to lay your life down for everyone else. Because I'm blessing you, but I'm giving you such a blessing, you don't need to worry about anything. Then he said, "Do this in my remembrance." In other words, always remember this, even until I come back again. Always. Then with the same way, he said, "Drink the cup." And when he said that, he was saying, all you disciples of mine, I want you to drink this cup of my blood. So if you don't drink and don't eat, you have no part in Jesus. But if you eat my body and drink my blood, which doesn't sound like it does anything, you have eternal life. So we're now remembering his death. As often as you come together, do this. So let us now partake of the bread. Lord, we thank you that you laid your life down for us. You set aside your own agenda. You didn't have two things to accomplish, just loving us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that the Father loves us and you are the one that revealed him to us. Now also, let's drink of the cup of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power that's in the blood. There is power in this blood because your death was our death. And not only does the blood forgive us of our sins, it actually removes all of our sins from all unrighteousness. But it also perfects us in love. So that faith is gone, hope is gone, but love abides forever and ever. Because you're a loving Father, so now we love just like you do. So we can lay down our lives for others and be blessed so that we can be a blessing. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.